following podcast is brought to you exclusively by the Rad Rob Radio Network. Through the years, we all remember when we first witnessed a national tragedy. We remember the good times and the bad times through either a song, a TV show, a monumental sports achievement, or even the smell of a particular food from when we were young. Welcome to the show that will take you on a journey through time to relive those iconic moments. Welcome to RTW Rewind, where old school rules. So, without any further delay, let's introduce you to the host of the show, Rad Rob Rob Francois.
Hey guys, welcome back to RTW Rewind. I'm your host, Rad Rob Rob Francois. Coming back to the show, he hasn't been here in quite a while. In fact, this is his first Rewind. I think we did a couple other projects together. We did the Mecha Powers thing for WrestleMania. But I'm looking forward to not talking about wrestling for once with this person right now. He is the creator of Hameen Media. Yalla. I've been working on that. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, man. You got the yalla today, but we're rewinding it all the way back before Hameen was in the Mujahideen, where Cass rules everything around me, and I love it when you call me Big Pop. That's right. We're back here. Robbie Francois and the Hacker ready to tear it down on the Rad Rob Radical Rewind. Is that what's going on here,
man? Yeah, pretty much. Whatever you want to call it. You hear the golden pipes of the one and only, the Ayatollah of Podcastola. It has been Hameen. I'm glad to have you here, man. We haven't done a show in a while.
Always a good time, man. You do such great work and have awesome insight into everything that's the hottest, what we knew it would be for Gen Xers right now, and it's all in every marketing thing that we see and will be, and that's not a bad thing to me, because they tried to do the 80s and it blew right through it, because there just isn't the true renaissance that the 90s was, man. And I know we're gonna go head to head today on a couple things. I'm looking forward to putting a serious beating on you, because the argument doesn't even stand up, man. But yeah, yalla. Whoa, baby, we're back here having a good ass time.
So 80s and 90s. It's funny, when I was producing a couple of Horseman shows for you when it was on, you let me pick the music in the beginning. I asked you, what can I use? And you said, here's what I like to put in. Don't use any of that 80s shit. yeah. I mean, we're around the same age group. So, I mean, you pretty much grew up with the same stuff that I did. Mm-hmm. What was it about 80s music that you just didn't care for?
I mean, if you're watching this on video now, you see it, this weird androgynous leather pants, teased out hair, guys wearing eye makeup. I grew up around, my dad's a world champion lumberjack. I grew up around guys who look like WWE stars, like all real men, dude. And then I see all this, whatever LA was trying to do at that time with cocaine and Dr. Feelgood. And it's all just pageantry and bullshit for what was the LGBTQ mafia at that time, in my opinion, bro. And if it wasn't that, it was guys like trying to search inside themselves to be deep. And that keyboard synthesizer, new computer sound was so new and shitty. or the guitars were just squealing for the sake of squealing. I never even, like, everyone, obviously they had a huge impact on music and people love Van Halen, but like, when people put them over, I'm like, dude, if that shit comes on, I turn it. Kiss, same thing for me, bro. Even though, like, it just is so not what I'm about in every way of men trying to be beautiful and this weird rock star lifestyle that, like, is so fake and contrived, So that was, and then in the 80s too, the whole class system of jocks and nerds, and rich country club status, or your blue collar and looked down upon. I really hated all that shit. I hated all the Reagan stuff, and even to look at Reagan, where people put him over as the greatest ever. No, he was a puppet too. What was Reagan before he got elected as governor?
He's an actor and governor of California.
So do you think he was a propped up puppet or he was a real person in power with integrity? Course they're going to put an actor in there. So, right. So since then, and following politics, even when I was a little kid at that time, the only thing I really liked from the 80s was NASA and the space stuff, to be honest with you. I love the cartoons growing up, G.I. Joe, Transformers, all that. But that was one of the few. And the other thing, the 80s is, it's tough, is better than the 90s, is epic comedies. John Candy and Ramis and Bill Murray and those guys in their prime. Steve Martin. Very hard to beat any of those films. You know, you can try and stack Tommy Boy against Uncle Buck. It's going to be a tough sell. You know what I mean?
True.
Both great. But one's on a different level of production. One's like a joke in and of itself, looking at itself. The other one's trying to create a reality and make it funny. I think 80s comedies outshine. But we're talking music today. I mean, I fell off of all that. I still would mark out as a kid when you got your little crush just to be the next to be with you.
Oh, like favorite song ever.
Right. Like whatever is going on.
The only hit Mr. Big ever had.
Yeah. Scorpions, Winds of Change, all that shit.
Yeah, I don't understand the makeup thing and the fucking hair and all that. Like, look at this picture. I'm like, goddamn, how did I think that was cool? I had this shit plastered all over my walls as a kid. Like, all these different bands. It's like, I look at it now. I'm like, the fuck, dude. A lot of fucking drugs. A lot of goddamn drugs.
Marketing, bro. They marketed it the right way. And man, if that's all they're feeding you and that's all you got, then you're gonna bite on it. But then
what the fuck is society though? Like, what the fuck is everybody doing to think like this is cool, right?
It's a blow. They're all coming off of Studio 54, the 70s. Yeah, they're all coming off of that. And they're like anybody, they're looking for an identity, a tribe. And somebody got to them and said, this is what we're doing. And then you got one band, you got 50 of them, from Poison to Whitesnake to Rat to whatever. And they all suck at the end of the day.
You can't listen to fucking Round.
You go see them now, and it's the same old whores out at the concert with the super tight jeans that lace up the side, and they're just they look like saddlebags because they've been smoking Marb Reds since they were 14 years old, bro. It's easy to see, like, you know, and I also hated the harder rock from that time, like Metallica and all that.
Come on, dude.
They'd go nuts for it, and I'd be like, just shut the fuck up, dude. I can't hear again.
That was early 90s. That wasn't, you know, Injustice for All.
Right, but any of that at that time. I grew to appreciate them later in the 90s, but it was that rock scumbag mentality. So you had rich kids with V-neck sweaters, people in the middle, and then like dirtbag rockers at the bottom. I didn't connect with any of them. So I was looking for my tribe. So what did I hear? 2 years ago, a friend of mine asked me to say some MC rhyme. So I said this rhyme I'm about to say, said for Red Robin, it went this way, you know. And hip hop was born. Actually, I think my first hip hop exposure, it was probably the Fat Boys. And then Roxanne, the real Roxanne, on a mixtape I had. And I think that mixtape had like Eye of the Tiger and a bunch of other shit. You know, I'm riding my Diamondback. The movie Rad is out. And like to listen to hip hop was like, especially as a white kid in small town America, seemed like the real underground thing. And then fifth, sixth grade, I remember my best friend at the time, Ben Gardner, had gotten all these dubbed over tapes that his older cousin, who was like 15, had got them. And we would sit in my closet with headphones on so we wouldn't get caught. And it was fucking NWA's first album, Eazy-E's first albums. And, you know, like all this shit, like this is before the parental advisory, like all that went down, you know? So I was way into it. And even at the state fair, I bought he's the DJ, I'm the rapper. And we want to let y'all know our motto for 1988. We are too damn hype. What are we? Damn hype. All right. We're too damn hype. Yeah. In the place at about this time, my name is the Fresh Prince, and I'm here with my full posse in effect. I got my man DJ Jazzy Jeff in the house. Dude, like, you know, I'm 11 years old. That shit was everything to me, because that's all you have when you're a kid is your music and your TV. That's what you identify yourself as, you know.
To paraphrase the late Kurt Hennig, rap is crap.
number one selling music, though, man. So
it is. And I never really got into it, but I did like Fresh Prince. I did like Parents Don't Understand. I mean, who didn't love that fucking song?
The whole album's great, man. That whole I'm the rapper before he went commercial, you know. But I mean, that was commercial at that time. But yeah, dude, I was so pumped for the crossover of the 90s because I was turning 13. Mm-hmm. And you know, then you're really getting into it of like who you're gonna try and start to become.
Yes.
And dude, it was the Renaissance. It was the Renaissance for music. They took rap, which was party and inspiring, from Leaders of the New School and Tribe Called Quest and Big Daddy Kane. Like, you had your Love Rap, your Sex Rap, and then they put the gangster on it. And what, you know, that's just, Americans are obsessed with the gangster culture. So there was a lot of bad stuff going on with CIA bringing in crack and guns into the hood, and, you know, that furthers racism and for-profit prisons and all that shit. We can get into that argument, but like, really, the music style was phenomenal. That's where we get the foundations of Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, you know, to start kicking all this shit off in the 80s. And then in the 90s, we get the Snoop Dogs, the Tupac Shakurs. I was listening to Digital Underground 1991. That was kind of the last when rap was fun and you had like clowns in rap, or you know what I mean? And the show that really defined me was Yo MTV Raps. I would try and stay up till midnight, 2 a.m. Ed Lover Dance.
Ed Lover.
But at the same time, at the heart, I am a white guy. So here comes the grunge alternative out of that bullshit. Also the punk movement. I was a little skateboard dude trying to find my, a big skateboard dude, I guess. I was never little. Trying to find my tribe as well. And dude, I remember getting Green Day albums 1991 on Lookout Records. They had two albums before Dookie dropped. So like, I was finding bands and loving this underground music scene, late 80s, early 90s, that would turn into the alternative scene. And, you know, dude, how can you compare Whitesnake rap, Pearl Jam, Poison, Warrant to, or excuse me, to those bands, to Pearl Jam, Nirvana, Soundgarden? Like, to stack them up musically, it's one is a complete drag show, and the other one is the real McCoy, bro, you know, so... I love that hot 97 mentality from 1989 to about 2002. And then that was the only decade of purity I've seen in my 40 years.
I get that. And I understand stylistically why you wouldn't like the 80s glam rock. But I mean, musically, you know, you got some of the best musicians in the world. You know, you got Steve Vai, you know, guys that can just fucking shred it on guitar. I know you don't like Poison, but I mean, CC DeVille was a decent guitarist. Tommy Lee was a fantastic drummer, still is. So, I mean, they did produce a lot of talented musicians. But I mean, I understand you not liking the context of the music, because it's all about fucking getting laid and, you know, drinking, doing drugs and all that.
So is rap. So rap's about smoking bullets and being a misogynist. And
so was it just the style you didn't agree with?
Bunch of dudes who I could punch a hole in their chest trying to come off of as like, this is what it looks like to be a top guy. Tease your hair out and put Aquanet in your hair. No, that's not what it is. Like, I'm watching guys chop wood, throw axes, hunt, you know what I mean? Right. And I should be listening to country music, but then I would see country guys trying to find their tribe, chewing tobacco and listening to this bang, trying,
Yeah.
Guys in the north talking like they're from Alabama, like trying to do, hey, that one up over there, up there, he had her stuck in that some bitch up there. And I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Well, you know, when you go farther north in the woods, I mean, New York, Vermont, Maine, New Hampshire, yeah, you're going to get fucking rednecks are everywhere. I mean,
dude, that's the heart of where I grew up. Yeah. So to see those guys and everything like that, and I was doing it, like they would call it a wigger at the time, right, in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So that was my shit. I'm a skateboard kid who does theater and fucking I listen to hip hop and I love wrestling. I've pretty much parlayed that, except for the skateboarding, into my entire life now, right? So right. I do theater constantly. I'm constantly on the mic. I wrestle and I talk about things that are political and true to the heart of the Renaissance of the artist. And I think that's what encapsulates me as a 90s Gen X kid, man. So there was so much to connect with from the music of the rock side in the 90s where there's no connection. I'm not out at the club in LA doing lines of blow and fucking dressing like a half a woman with leather pants on. Like, you would get your fucking head thumped if you walked around my town with leather pants on. Like, if you got leather pants on, it better be chaps because you're going to cut down a tree in the backyard. Like, that's right. Right.
Now, look, you mentioned Van Halen. Rest in peace, Eddie Van Halen. To me, one of the greatest guitarists of all time.
Yeah, to your point, I'm not taking anything away from those guys' musicianship.
Okay. But,
you know, like when it's time to go and you're at Madison Square Garden or Giant Stadium, your ass better deliver. So CC DeVille to whoever, you know, like they can play. There's no doubt about that.
Now, just let's take a little bit of rock outside of it, you know, hard rock or you know, glam rock, whatever. Did you not like anything? Do you not like any of the European influences or, you know, Billy Joel or any of your classic, you know, musicians, Eric Clapton?
I mean, there's Americana stuff that is always going to come on. You know what I mean? Bottle of red, bottle of white. But I liked Young Love is just rely on a touch, like all that shit. Like that's Americana. Or you throw on Bon Jovi and fucking, some, you know, there's songs I'm gonna like, oh, turn it up on a summer drive. I'm not like, get that shit off of here.
Right.
But for me to be like, dude, this Bon Jovi album front to back is awesome. But if, dude, Wanted Dead or Alive comes on and I have a Young Guns flashback, right, of course I'm gonna turn that shit up, you know?
Right.
Wanted. Yeah, everyone loves that shit. That speaks to the human experience and goes beyond music, in my opinion, you know? So
let's pull it back and talk about, you mentioned Kiss as well. And I agree, music-wise, I think they suck.
Yeah.
But we both enjoy entertainment. You've been in entertainment for a long time.
Yeah.
A band that knew their demographic, knew their brand, and knew how to get over.
Yeah.
Use the wrestling term. They were the epitome of entertainment. They knew exactly what their gimmick was.
Take nothing away that if I don't like it, I'm not passing judgment on it. Like, you suck for all time. Massive geniuses in the way they played their crowd, built their following, marketed to them to have a longevity of 50 fucking years
right
on stage. I take nothing away from them when it comes to that. For me, to paint my face and put on some high-heeled boots, it ain't happening, Jackson.
Like, that's wrestling, though, right? I mean, that's entertainment.
I agree. It is. But, like, even my brand is in wrestling. It's not that, right? So, yeah. But to say you offer the paycheck, are you painting your face and getting out there with some leather straps over your titties? You know, if there's enough zeros on it, let's fucking rock and roll all night and party every day. Like, that's
right.
That's what it comes down to. But, dude, those guys lived an incredible life and set up a model for the Juggalos to copy 100%. If anybody stole the Kiss model, it's the Juggalos, right? Like,
I'm glad you mentioned that because I was going to ask if you were a fan of ICP because actually I was.
I'm not against them. I get it the same marketing way. I'm just not like into it, but they are clowny rap, you know what I mean? And right. Drug culture, which is a big part of the 90s drug culture. But never did that really spark me a ton. But again, more kids, outcasts looking for their tribe. Same as 2001 when every asshole white kid dyed their hair blonde, bought white t-shirt, and had "I'm the real Shady." Yes, I'm the Slim Shady. All you other Slim Shadies are just every other fucking white kid in America.
Yeah.
So, like, I think
that's good at it, though. I mean, you got to give Eminem his due. He could spit rhymes.
I guess. I don't like guys who talk tough who I could punch a hole in their chest.
That's fair. So you mentioned Tupac, you mentioned, early stuff in the '90s. You mentioned the grunge movement, which to me obviously killed glam rock.
Thank you.
I wasn't a big Nirvana fan, but I did like Soundgarden. I liked Alice in Chains. I thought STP was good. There was some good to me. I didn't understand Pearl Jam. It's one of the worst concerts I ever went to.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I
we had that. We had Dave Matthews Band.
Dave Matthews was real commercial at one point. He kind of got bigger.
He's the anti that really when you talk about him, you know what I mean? He's definitely not like sell my shit to Toyota to be in the background. So, He never really plays the same show twice. So, a lot of respect as a musician and artist and a hell of a drunk too. So, doing it always. But those guys lived the rock star lifestyle that was kind of set up in the 80s. And we saw a heroin make a comeback and beat out cocaine, which took the lives of a lot of people. Stone Temple Pilots, fucking Blind Melon. They say that fucking dude from Soundgarden killed himself or OD. I believe he was murdered. Same with Chester Bennington. So heroin came back, but dude, here's really another argument that it comes down to. Want to know what type of music cocaine makes? Look at the 80s. You're going to put on a dress, go to the club and tease your hair out. Want to see what happens when you do heroin? You're going to sit in a rainy apartment in Seattle or California and fucking write music that like is from the real human soul in a morphine trip. It's sublime. You know what I mean? Band after band after band that left their mark, but were run by addicts. And I say this in wrestling, there's three types of people that are in our business, and it's true of across all of entertainment: queers, carnies, and junkies. You're one of the three, or you're a combination, usually a two of the three.
Yeah,
because you're glad, a carny.
I'm glad you mentioned Sublime. That was my one of my wife's favorite bands growing up, and she grew up a fundamentalist Baptist. Her parents were real strict, so she had to kind of sneak out and listen to music on her own. She loved Vanilla Ice. She liked Sublime. She liked Mr. Big, but she's really into Sublime, and unfortunately, they ended pretty soon.
But why? Because I don't think Brad was doing anything crazy, because all he was taking was skate punk and ska and a little Latino flavor, and then mixing it all in with reggae. And it was a white guy doing reggae, and they did it well, don't get me wrong. But really, that's cultural appropriation of music from Jamaica, be it ska, and that influence, and putting your own spin on it, which is the remix of what hip hop was in the 90s. Let's take some 70s, 80s jams and fucking remix this shit and be the sound of the culture, because this is what we're hearing in the streets, but it fucking sounds stupid. And even now, dude, Jay-Z, Forever Young, I can listen to that way more than I can listen to Sting's version of it. Give me the hook, or like when Biggie died and Puffy took the Police, I'll be missing you. You know what I mean? Like, that's the beauty of hip hop, to take some white boy fucking ballad from the 80s and put the spin of the streets on it. The 80s music can't do that the other way. You know what I mean? That's why I think our Generation X and the beginning of Generation Y was very, very special in the last 100 years. And I'm sure every generation thinks that about themselves, but we have the proof and the numbers to back it up.
But then you're going to get that crowd that says, well, sampling is bullshit because they're not real musicians. They can't make music on their own. They got to take somebody else's. What do you say to those people?
You have a point, but that's not part of the culture of what their music is. Hip hop is about having nothing, taking two things, two records, two on a turntable, and making something new out of it. The foundation is using the junk you have around you and turning it into something else. The other music isn't that. And I disagree with that because I listen to plenty of classic rock things, like because that's what Sideburns us do when we go golf, and I fucking hate a lot of that. And like Pink Floyd, all that shit, I can't stand it. Grateful Dead. But then I can't even think of the songs that are on, like, ooh, Barracuda, or there's other ones, and they'll be like jungle sounds in the back, or what's the band from Canada, Rush, that get that shit out of here, bro. Like the worst, like I'm on a spaceship going through stars and a magical dragon sucking me off. I'm like, what the fuck is this even about, dude? Like, I can't relate to this at all. Oh, fuck out of here, man. But you get that to Puffy,
right?
Slow it down to go in, like he would turn it into something awesome.
Yeah, I get it.
You know? So that's like for people who would have that argument of like, oh, they can't come up with their own. Dude, you're putting jungle sounds in the back of your fucking song, hoping that it's going to help get you over. You're a fucking shitty musician.
Right. Yeah.
Now, I really love when what's the fucking Dirk Diggler movie, the porn star fucking thing,
Boogie Nights,
when he goes to record his album and exposes how bad him and John C. Reilly are. Like, I feel that's almost every 80s musician for real. Like, that's how I look at them, like talentless most of the time hacks who bought a cool jacket and fucking put some shit in their hair. Like, that's what it took for most of them to get a record deal.
But when I listen to like a lot of 90s rock, to me, it all sounds the same. It all sounds like, fucking same shit, puddle of mud, you know, fucking.
I think you're hearing heroin. Healing, hand on a pillow, hand of concrete. Right? Like, and then you hear, even though not too different. And then right. You can even hear, what's STB's? Find her, got time to wait for tomorrow. Like, it all does sound gritty down low. To me, that's 1920s and 30s blues. If you listen to old Howlin' Wolf and shit, and those guys were all on Skag at the time, what you're hearing is the influence of drugs and music, in my opinion. And then what else comes about in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, is fucking Pop the Molly, I'm Sweating, and you get all this club kid shit, right?
True. Which actually I can get down to. I mean, all that nasty shit. So
when you're fucked up and you got your shit going, get your glow sticks on and whatever, bro. But like, so, and that was really the gay community and the drugs they were doing at that time, you know, MDMA type stuff. So I think definitely it's the difference between cocaine, heroin, and sprinkling weed for hip hop, obviously, is weed culture, and whatever you would call it, EDM, we call it techno when I was a kid, is pill culture.
Yeah, no, that's right.
And that actually turned into Adderall and fucking Lexapro and all that other shit. They took that and went, oh, these slightly unstable people like taking pills? Well, we've got some pills for you.
All of a sudden, ADHD becomes a thing that wasn't a fucking thing.
Exactly. Exactly that, bro.
Yeah. No, I do.
That was 2004.
Yeah. No, I do understand that. To me, you know, obviously the 80s was, you know, excess. You know, just more. They can't get enough. You know, everything was just fucking out of control. I mean, there was no control over these 80s fucking glam bands that were rocking out. I mean, these guys, I read Sammy Hagar's book and it's amazing. He's like, I fucked so many chicks, I couldn't even fucking get my dick up anymore.
Oh, I believe that.
You know what I mean? Like, it's amazing the amount of ass that these fucking guys went through, you know, between drugs and women and cars, and they, you know, they had whatever the fuck they wanted. And then you're right. When you get to the 90s, it was just a cultural shift within society where things just got darker and dirtier. And, you know, people want to talk about being pissed off and they want to talk about life.
We had two big events out of the gate. I mean, three, really. I mean, first we had Operation Desert Storm for the fucking good old boys.
Yep.
And then we had Rodney King beating and the L.A. riots.
True.
And then we had O.J. And those were three big cultural shifts in America that really divided things early on. And people were scarred by that and didn't want. And then we got Bill Clinton, and he was the cool's, like, you know, drunk uncle kind of that you wanted to have it at your, you know, who would buy you beers at, for your graduation party or whatever the fuck while trying to bang your friends or whatever on Epstein Island. But like that was so different from the make no mistake about it. When George Bush Sr. took over, that was a complete CIA run government. You look back at Horseman, look up the Thousand Points of Light show and see what that, all that bullshit really means. So I was so glad to see him go for really the great-great-grandson of Thomas, or great-great-great-great-grandson of Thomas Jefferson, possibly. People don't know that how Clinton's real background is. But, yeah, dude, and what did they do? They came from being shifty governors who were dealing coke in Arizona and doing bad fucking deals and made their way in and got selected. So it was like a breath of fresh younger air out of that heavy Republican fucking, you know, country club scene. And we were ready to have everything from Lilith Fair to Lollapalooza to, you know, hip hops for everybody, even though it started as black culture, and that we can mix anything we want to into it, man, so you can relate to it. And people wanted to live vicariously through the gangster shit, like little kids in Idaho fucking talking ghetto like they're bad as fucking shit. Remember those like MTV specials, like gangsters in Iowa? It's like all these fucking 15-year-olds with shotguns from Walmart, like, we out here Crippin' Blood, like all these fucking white kids are like, okay, it's okay.
And were you right along with that too?
Fuck yeah. Yeah, dude. Everybody, you're fooling yourself. You fake it till you make it. You want your little identity. You know, MTV is what you have. It's your voice. It's what they market to you. And sometimes you can look at things and laugh and be like that, but really it's in your life and you're going to adopt a little slang. I mean, think of all the slang terms you hear now that you're like, I don't even know what the fuck that is, or I don't put that over. Like bass and things like that. Like, gee, that person's bass. I'm like, shut the fuck up. I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel.
Yeah. I mean, see, I couldn't relate to anything in rap because to me, you know, it was black culture. And there, sure. I had nothing that represented me as a white kid in Connecticut. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I get you.
I couldn't dig it. But on the other side, I couldn't relate to fucking banging chicks and driving fucking Ferrari either. So, you know what I mean? Like, so I can't explain why I liked what I liked. I guess we're just all different in our own way.
Yeah, man. I mean, in Tupac started out with Digital Underground as a backup dancer. Yeah. And even though his mom and dad were Black Panthers and he had the revolutionary in them, like, it's the entertainment game. You're going to get in any way you can, doing the Humpty Hump or whatever. But yeah, he was a prophet, really. You know, once he got to death row, he had to keep up some gangster image, but really that guy should be running for president right now. I mean, he couldn't be because he shot cops and shit. So right. Probably not shit over. Yeah. But yeah. Dude, when you got death threats against you and shit, like it's easy to judge somebody from that outside, you know? But senseless death, especially as young as him and Big were and as prophetic as they were, just the worst like case scenario of losing masters of the game, and like because one died, the other one had to go. Like,
I don't know.
So fucked up, bro. That's so fucked up. Like, if there's one thing we should really be slapped on the wrist for, it's the unawareness of reaching out to people to squash beefs that are gonna take somebody's life. You know what I mean? That are improving other people's lives for an escape, or being them allowed to relate to them. So, you know, I didn't have a knee deep in the crack game, but at the same time, I would sling my little dime bags of weed and fucking whatever in college and smoke blunts. And it was about getting with chicks, like everything is in a Freudian way. So being a player, I'm not a player. I just fuck a lot, you know, or going to the strip club or getting into the club. Dude, I was going to the nightclub and strip club when I was 17 years old because I always looked older. And this is going to sound the worst, like, racist thing, like, not racist by any means, but like excuse, but like in my small town and class of like 168, I think I graduated with two black kids in my whole class. Like, Marquise is my best friend. So I spent every day with, you know, like one of the only black kids, like for my own, not for my own street cred, but we were best friends.
Yeah.
So if we're watching White Men Can't Jump and fucking playing basketball and juice and every other goddamn thing, you know, just hip hop was a lifestyle, fashion, movies, and rolling with your boys on the weekend from town to town to try and chase skirts, man. So you got that with Snoop Dogg's first album, Gin and Juice is bumping, and everybody knows the lyrics, man. It just brings that hip hop's so testosterone based. And when you're a teenager, that's what you're looking for and craving. And it really filled that need for me.
And, you know, I kind of have a similar story, but a little bit of a different background. My best friend was black, but he lived in the suburbs in Suffield, Connecticut, and didn't fall into the black crowd. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't, people would call him like Tiger Woods or shit like that. Or, you know, he's a fucking Oreo, you know, black on the outside, but white on the inside. Hey. And he got a lot of shit for that, right? Because he didn't like, you know, gangster shit, right? And so he liked fucking, you know, hard rock and heavy metal and shit like that. And he was a drummer.
Those dudes are interesting. Black dudes are way into rock, man. I know a couple of them too, and they're always interesting dudes.
He was a hard rock drummer, and he, you know, he did a little bit of the grunge stuff with a kid that loved Nirvana and all that too in the '90s. So I mean, he was able to adapt his style, but I mean, he didn't fit into that fucking into the crowd, into the Tupac crowd or the rap crowd. So he didn't even understand any of that shit.
Who does? Yeah. Who understands getting a shotgun and shooting somebody in their chest? What are we doing? Hip hop is wrestling.
Right.
Hip hop is all mirage. Okay. Ice Cube ain't out here smoking nobody with a fucking AK-47. You know what I mean? Dr. Dre ain't shooting. And I'm not into nothing. I don't feel right. So I grab the 9 and the clip and go and murder motherfuckers at night. Do you, MC Ren? Do you go? Really? MC Ren's bored, everybody, so he's going to go grab a 9 and a clip and go murder motherfuckers at night.
Yeah. Leave your gated community to fucking go up, buddy. Yeah.
Right? The reality is Dre's got a gay lover behind the scenes while he's trying to be a fucking huge gangster, you know? Like,
well, then what do you say about, like, culturally influencing kids that, you know, want to live that lifestyle through the music? I mean, that fucked up a lot of people wanting to live that life.
Welcome to marketing.
Yeah.
Same thing happened in the 80s. Didn't matter if you were a fucking sweater vest wearing person who had to do that, or if you were a country shit Hall McGraw, they were still going to market to you. Dude, marketing has been going on since Operation Paperclip. Well, before that, really. But since we brought the Nazis over and they perfected a psychological operant conditioning on how to market, which they perfected in some death camps they used to run, that now that's how our world is. And it caught fire the late 80s, early 90s. I would say, actually, right around the Van Halen time of Crystal Pepsi was one of the first fucking times. So if you want to blame somebody, yeah, right now, drink this shitty soda.
And I did. Right now. True, but I drank it because of Van Halen. That's true.
Right? But that shit is just, it's all in the packaging, bro. When you're a kid, you don't see that. But now, as a curmudgeon wrestler a mile away, I see that, you know,
right?
Because I create the work and I've taught the marketing. So you can get to any base and make them into what they want based on tribalism. And then they broke it down into smaller micro demographics, and how I might market one product to this micro demographic might be a completely opposite way that I do for the same product. Might just be a different color, different message, different whatever they respond to. And believe me, when you give up your information from this website runs on cookies, or do you want to save 10% on gas, sign up for this card, all of that info goes into your algorithm that oh, Rad Rob's probably more apt to buy something with a red background and Ben Hameen with a blue one instead, because he's bought blue 7 out of 10 times before that. And we're going to make ads specific to them to sell even more, even more, even more.
That's true.
If you want to sell violence, and this is one part of the argument where the video game generation that I grew up in, you grew up in, I say is bullshit, because I've heard this excuse and I think it's a lie, that violence is directly, and gun violence especially, and especially school-related gun violence, or in the streets, is because of Grand Theft Auto. It is because of desensitization of killing, on Call of Duty and GoldenEye 007, all that shit that we came up with. Because when it first started, we were still shooting aliens with missiles on some things, but we were more jumping on turtle shells and jumping on mushrooms, you know what I mean? And powering up with opiate flowers, where we believed we could shoot fireballs out of our hands. But, you know, like, that is kind of the same loss of innocence that always happens. We start with something entertaining, we're with it, and like hip hop, it can be educational, it can be fun, it can be a lot of different colors in the rainbow and serve different purposes, but then it always is going to go to death, guns, testosterone, and sex, you know, like that, and sex sells. So it's just how you package it. You know what I mean?
No, you're right, and you're spot on about the video games too. I mean, they really did desensitize a lot of us, you know, to where you just grab a fucking rocket and blow people up or run people over with your car. Dude, I'm telling you, I can't tell you how many times if I play GTA 4 or 5 and I get out in the street and I see a fucking dude on a fucking bike in front of me, I want to run right up the fucking back of him and fucking take him out. You know what I mean?
Like, it's the desensitization of murder, right? It's just like, in my human existence, is that what I really want to feed myself on? And right. People are, and why is it so popular and why is it pushed so hard? Death culture, and I'm not trying to change things. I could do more, because I definitely fan the flames of that, but I like to think I'm drawing a somewhat of a light to it. And the more that someone says, no, it's not that, 99% of the time, it's exactly that, you know? So,
1000%.
Mm-hmm. And you got to see where that money is going and who's the one calling the shots and why on that.
I mean, if you want to correlate that to wrestling, for the only thing we'll mention about wrestling in this show, but I mean, in the mid to late 90s, you saw it with the Attitude Era. You saw the cultural society. Vince McMahon was smart enough to capitalize on that, even though he says he didn't want to do it. It's against his better judgment. You know, he liked the tail hoppers and all that fucking gimmick bullshit, but he knew where the fucking money was, and he wasn't afraid to fucking take a chance on it. And that's what he did.
I think the sex of the 90s was way more cultural revolution based as well, like compared to the late 60s, and maybe not the free love movement, but we've seen it on Jerry Springer and whatever, and the cheating at every level. And he's a pimp, and he's got all these chicks on the side, and, you know, I'm a player. I don't know what you like. It was because hip hop fanned the flames of having a side piece and fucking all these girls. I'm not saying like the guys in Poison and them didn't clean up, and bang tons of groupies, but the guys who went to the Poison concerts, it was still hard as hell for them to get laid. That's why every 80s comedy movie with John Cusack or whoever it is at the fucking summer thing is working his ass off the whole summer to lose their virginity, right? Like,
yeah.
Even see some titties and Porky's or something like that. Right. You know what I mean? Like, just for guys to stop jerking off long enough to try and get some ass. But in the 90s, it was like, yeah, I'm not only am I banging one chick, I'm banging three chicks, and none of them know about each other at the same time. Yeah. So I don't know what happened there, but dudes in the 80s were pissed at 90s teens because of how the sexual revolution, and they were scared shitless, and we can tie it into Vax, because you want to talk about the big scare of the 80s was AIDS, which was a concocted, made up disease, not made up, but made in a lab disease.
It was, yeah.
Blamed on some monkey outbreak. Guess who helped with all that? A little guy named Fauci. Yeah. And it was targeted. Yeah, it was targeted at the gay and black community, and to put fear out there, especially to white America. So Trojan makes a ton of money. Lifestyles makes a ton of money. And I'm sure they were all invested in all those when they did it. Plus, their depopulation plan takes effect in the minority communities that they really want to scrub off the earth in a very Nazi kind of way. And fucking, you know, to put that out there. And then in the 90s, we were kind of so beaten down with that fear of AIDS and safe sex from Salt and Pepper to, you know, the Magic Johnson shit, you know, right? Like that sex was on the mind all the fucking time. It was in everything. It was commercialized way, way more. So that was, and they know that sex sells, but in the 80s, you had this like prudish return to Quaker values of like, if you talk about that, then you're lower class. In the 90s, everyone was like, fuck that. Let's get high and drunk and fuck.
pretty much.
And nobody in the 80s was out about being a cocaine head. Like cocaine, right. Very closet, embarrassing joke for some
bathroom. Yeah, fucking right. Yeah.
And weed is like a very social, pass this shit around and let's commune. That's another reason why hip hop is popular amongst all people. Same with reggae.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. Dude, I mean, fascinating discussion. We could talk for hours on this stuff, but we're both busy guys, so we're going to wrap it up here. Always appreciate you having on. Where can we find you on social media? Let everybody know what's going on in the world of Yalla Bin Hameen.
Yeah, man. @Bin_Hameen on Twitter, @HackerHameen on Instagram. Appreciate everybody hanging with me on patreon.com/Hameen Media Group. I'm going to be putting out a lot more interesting. I'd been putting the shows up there, but they're going to be at channelattitude.com for subscribers. I'm excited to create more content that I want to do improv-wise, marketing-wise, music review-wise, movie reviews, Saints of Newark. I'm probably going to do that in the next 48 hours. Mm-hmm. You know, people have been asking for that. So I've just been so busy all summer long, thankfully. And we had, you know, whatever startup issues before, but it seems like now things are going to be a go. And I'm excited for new shows, joining Hameen Media Group, representing new artists and producing for all the great ones that we have, from beautiful people to Stevie Ray to Amber Neal, to the A Show with the lovely April Hunter and Aaron Stevens. Everyone's just a great community of content makers, from Goldilocks and Big Vito Brand and Noel, like, and Russo Brand. Yeah. It's humbling every day. The other day, not to mark out, but to get up and have to fill in on a Vince Russo Brand show. And here I am in a four-way box with Russo, Stevie Richards, Disco Inferno, and me. And I go, it pays off. If you stay the course and yeah, we want the money. Everybody wants the money. But because we're 80s kids. But at the end of the day, it's moments like that when I can look at a digital screen and go, these are my peers now that I looked up to and emulated and inspired me. It's a great journey. And you can do that in whatever you want to be. It doesn't have to be wrestling. It can be podcasting, but whatever it is, if you put in the 10,000 hours and you surround yourself with the people that have been there and that are the professionals in this, you're going to get there eventually. So stay the course, no matter what it is. Don't let anybody tell you can't do it. So, I don't know where that came from, but I was pumped about it.
I mean, you know, me as a fan growing up, I love the fact that, you know, I can reach out to Vince Russo and ask him the question, you know, or pick his brain, or, you know, I sit under the learning tree with you and Sil and Man Beast and Stevie. Yeah.
So was just on Wrestling Observer. So was just on with Alvarez right before we came on. He killed it.
Sil's amazing. I love Sil. Yeah. He's one of my favorite guys to talk to. I really love doing Light Diffuse with him that one time. But yeah, I mean, there's so many talented people that we have here, part of Hameen Media and Russo Brand and all that. So I mean, to me as a wrestling fan growing up, I'm like a kid in a candy store. You know what I mean? I get to talk wrestling, you know, with other people that were in the business.
I'm just pumped. The 90s are back in a time when we loved everything the most: wrestling, the music, food and culture, and saying what's up to your brother in kind of a way that only happened, in my opinion, from what I've read, 1920s, maybe 1960s, and then the 1990s. And sure, that wasn't all rose colored all the time. There's a lot of hurt feelings in a lot of groups that carved out their own niche, but at least we all, you know, have a shared experience that is back now. Even if they're using it in a marketing way, it's nice to feel those feelings of nostalgia of much simpler times. I don't even know if they were simpler times. I think they were much more real and genuine times filled with art that wasn't commercialized, because the hip hop that I loved, the rock that I loved, was destroyed 2006 to 2020. In just the worst commercial way possible. There really isn't hardly anything I can look back on from the last 15 years and really go, wow, I'm really glad that that happened, dude. I see a whole generation of man children raised on Pokemon and Dragon Ball Z's and things like that that are super childish. And maybe it was because we had G.I. Joe firing laser weapons at ninjas and they have little lizards, you know what I mean? Like, it's just not the, I mean, granted we had little lizards too, but we call them Ninja Turtles. You know, it's just not the same group of individuals of Generation X and Generation Y. When we get to Generation Z and finally Generation Useless, as I call them, that they are going to have a terrible time inheriting the world after Gen X leaves it. They're not going to be able to be decisive. They're not going to be able to make decisions well for humanity. They're only going to be looking at their little micro demographic group that was marketed to specifically, and they're not going to have a greater look for the outcrop of humanity that needs to come together, man. So
I mean, like Tony Khan.
I don't know, dude. I love to slam him here, but like, I just watched a Khan interview. And he was talking about all the WCW, ECW times. So I think he'd fit in very well into this conversation of somebody loving that very slight 8 years of brilliance that we got to really live and be a part of, man. Now, can he capture that lightning in a bottle and emulate it? Boy, I hope so. But it seems like right now he needs a big brother in order to help him do that. Dude, but I appreciate you, big brother, and everybody here listening on the Rewind Show for sure.
Yes, and I appreciate you being here. Let's just we can agree on one thing. Hopefully the emo shit doesn't make a fucking comeback.
It's always gonna. You're always gonna have little wimpy boys. Dude, it's the same thing like what was his name? The Beautiful People.
Not Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, dude, like sure he's shock value. I could punch a hole in his chest with no problem. You want to hear a quick Marilyn Manson wrestling story? This will pop. Sure. So we're still Supermarks. This is before I went to OVW. So this had to be Raw 2004 in Buffalo. Marilyn Manson is playing like three, four miles from the arena. So we got to go through downtown Buffalo to get over there, right? And all these emo kids are dressed up, lined up down the block, you know, the big Jenko jean suspenders, mascara, da da da. We pull up to the light. We're all in costume. Like, there's eight of us in two cars, right? There's Piper, my buddy's dressed as Hayabusa. I'm dressed as Vince, like all this shit. And I'm like, no sell, whatever, to my buddies, and turn up the radio right at that exact time, fucking. Near, far, wherever you are. Dude, we're at the red light. I just thump it like, what's her name? Celine Dion, right? The fucking Titanic thing. Yeah. With all these self-confidence emo people like all looking down. They all have to like look up, and then they look over and see Macho Man, Piper sitting in there. Like, and, dude, they all just start laughing. And I love that, because at the heart of the human existence is the ability to laugh at yourself. And sure. Not take it all so seriously. So even while they're all in their little depressed tribe, we're all aware of how shitty this song is. And here's a bunch of assholes who are fucking doing a half rib to fucking rib you for being some self-confidence. Oh, woe is me, wounded warrior, that you're really not. Now we can all laugh at the ridiculousness of the situation. That's a beautiful human moment. But at the same time, I love getting under people's skin with that kind of shit, man. It drives me.
That is a great fucking story. That is absolutely fantastic.
Oh, I just love them all like not wanting to sell it, and then they all start laughing like a bunch of depressed. They instantly went from depressed, like the most depressed people on earth trying to work their gimmick, to like, fuck, that's funny. I can't not laugh at that.
I love it. Well, hey, I know this is my show, but I always love listening to you take us home. So here we go, man. Take us home.
Y'all, law infidels, it's Amin Media Group with that one real radicalized Rob Francois. The French connection is here, infidels. So don't Charlie Hebdo me, because I'll Hebdo you right out of here, morons. It's the backwards rewind 90 styles pre-9/11 Hacker Amin edition. Y'all.
Thank you for listening to this episode of RTW Rewind. For all the latest news and announcements, please follow us on Twitter at RTW Brand. You can also follow Rad Rob at Rad Rob Gaming. You've been listening to RTW Rewind, exclusively here on HMG and the Rad Rob Radio Network.